paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. The NFL owners' meetings going on, and Brian Callahan with some newsworthy items this morning. I want to get your thoughts on this first. We talked about NWI being let go by the Titans, and that they view Bryce Oliver as a potential replacement there. What do you make of that idea of Bryce Oliver maybe getting some more playing time this year out there for the Titans?
You know, Bryce Oliver had a great camp last year. I mean, he really did. I mean, he made plays regularly on the practice field. Now, there's a difference between making plays in the practice field and on the game field. So he's going to have to be able to transition with that. You know, he's a guy who put up ridiculous numbers at Youngstown State. But he is a big, strong guy with really large hands. And, you know, he's a guy that I'm excited to see more of this year, but I don't know how much you can, I don't know how much you can expect. Like what's the expectation? You know, do you think, are they expecting to get 600 yards from him? Are they expecting to get 800 yards from him? You know, I think that's a danger with an unproven, you know, player is what's your expectation and how big of a role is he going to fill when he's, in fact, never done that before.
So, also, of course, Corey, lots of questions around, you know, basically, why not say if Cam Ward's your guy, if he's your guy, basically the Titans' approach to the whole thing, and of course, you know, Brian Callahan talking about Mike Borgonzi's disciplined approach. I guess to me, it's like, it's just, it's there's no reason to really be out there, you know, unless it's, I mean, there's really no reason to be out there, you know, unless it's like you just want to end the drama and all that. But what do you buy that there's still, you know, actual evaluating going on, that they really aren't decided behind closed doors, and that they're really like in 2 weeks they'll finally come to you, okay, what's our decision? Like, do you buy that?
Well, I think number one, it's not Brian Callahan's job. It's Mike Borgonzi's job. It's Chad Brinker's job. Brian Callahan's job is largely to coach the team. You know, does he have input on the ability of these guys? Yes. But, you know, he should not be the one saying, you know, hey, Bryce is our guy, or, you know, we're doing this or we're doing that. You know, because that's not his job. That's not his role. So I don't think that should be coming from him, you know, number one. You have to go through the process, and, you know, you can love Cam Ward and be thinking right now, yeah, we're probably taking Cam Ward. But I do agree you have to go through all the scenarios, because what happens if, where are the Saints pick, like 8, 9?
Like they're 9th, yep.
Yeah. What happens if all of a sudden the Saints come up to you and say, we're going to give you our next 3 number ones and this year's number 2 as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Now that it's interesting you bring that up because we were going over a piece that Kuharsky put out over the weekend where he basically caught up with Borgonzi and Callahan was involved in this too. And their thought was, like, if you love the quarterback, like if you think there's a franchise quarterback, the quote that Callahan used was, well, there's not really a price for that. So it is, like, it is interesting. Like, to me, and I've kind of approached it this way. Like, to me, if they love Cam Ward, then I don't really care what anybody else offers. The question is, do they love Cam Ward? I mean, that's a question that I can't answer. But if they do, then I'm not trading.
No, because if it's a franchise quarterback, I mean, look, there's a reason teams trade, you know, 2 and 3 first round picks to get that guy because they're that valuable. You know, as we talk about, the number of Super Bowls that have been won with, you know, we can count them, you know, Joe Flacco, Trent Dilfer, and Nick Folk. You know, that's it. The rest are by dudes, okay? And so, you know, you've got to have a guy, you know, back there. You know, we can just go back to last year with the Titans. You know, how many games do the Titans win last year with competent quarterback play? Just an NFL competent level of quarterback play. They go from 3 to 7, right?
I was going to say they at least double up.
Yeah. And so, look, offensive line, extremely valuable. Defensive line, extremely valuable. Playmakers on the outside, extremely valuable. It's easier to find those guys. Ask the Chicago Bears, okay? You can find those other guys. Finding the guy to pull the trigger is not the easiest thing. And there's no guarantees, because if there were guarantees, you know, Trevor Lawrence would be a top 5 quarterback. You know, he was everything coming out, and, you know, he has not been. I mean, he has not been terrible, but he's just been okay. Floyd Reese used to always say that. He used to always say, even if you have a franchise quarterback, if you're picking and you view a guy as a franchise quarterback on the board, you have to take him, you know, because those guys are that valuable. So I completely agree with that notion. If you love this guy and you are convinced he is the future of your franchise 199%, then there really is not a trade that gets you off that pick.
Yeah, I mean, I have my doubts that that's really how they feel, but yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with it. But see, what Floyd is talking about is the evaluation of the quarterback is so good, you can't not do it, even though you don't need it. The problem is that so many teams are, well, God, we do need it, and it is so important. So let me put on my quarterback goggles for this guy, you know, and all of a sudden he more and more starts to look like that guy. That's what, as a Titans fan, you just really hope is not happening here.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if you're Brian Callahan, you really want a quarterback. I mean, you want to save your job. And so it would be easy to put on, you know, those quarterback goggles. And also, it's the first pick goggles. You know, you shouldn't be picking first again. And if you are, it's somebody else doing all of it. So, you know, you've got to get it right. And look, to me, it would be terrifying to be sitting here with this pick and saying, you know, we like this guy, but we're going to pass. And then still needing a quarterback and coming back the next year, and all of a sudden, you know, you're picking 7th, and there's 2 really good ones, and neither team's willing to trade on the top 2 spots, and suddenly, you know, you're stuck without a quarterback still, and Cam Ward is doing Jaden Daniels stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're just stuck in this. And, you know, you're right, you can't pick out of the what-ifs and the fears. You have to pick on the evaluation, and you have to trust your evaluation. It's why these guys get the big dollars, and it's why their jobs are so volatile.
Corey, last thing for you here. Tennessee's run comes to an end yesterday against Houston. You know, obviously you score 15 in the first half, and you're just not going to give yourself a chance there in the second half. So what did you make of the run for Tennessee and kind of where things go from here with Rick Barnes and company?
Well, I think I said on this show, it's going to come down to 3 guys and 2 of them producing in every game. You know, it was Ganey, Lanier, and Milicic, and they needed at least 30 from two of those guys in every game. And, you know, Lanier was really good the first three games. I think he averaged 22 points a game the first three games, and they went 0 for 14 on their first 14 three-point field goals. NCAA all-time record for futility in the first half of an Elite Eight game. Generally, you don't win a game in the first half, but you can certainly lose it. And against a team like Houston and the way they play defense, there's no way they were going to come back from that deficit in that short amount of time. It was a good team, you know, with some really, you know, Ziegler and Mayshak, you know, those guys have won, you know, a ton of games. But they run into what a lot of Tennessee teams have run into, and that's when you get this far, you play a really good team, and you can't afford an offensive clunker. And inevitably, that offensive clunker seems to get them every year, whether it be in round one, two, three, or four. You know, that's why I still view last year as the year they needed to make it happen with Connect, because he was that guy who could always go get them a basket. And, you know, the other hard part about the loss this year now is looking at next year, you know, they need a lot of pieces. You know, you lose a Ziegler and a Mayshak and a Lanier, and they've got a lot to replace.
They certainly do. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
You're blessed. I understand that.
We really are. Each Monday morning, we are blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Yeah.
Hashtag blessed. That's right. Corey Curtis joined us.
By the way, because I'm going to get you off track here. You remember the old Blues Brothers with Belushi and Aykroyd?
Of course.
I do.
They had the song, and at some point in that song, Aykroyd goes, "Rubber, what do you want for nothing? Rubber biscuit?" And I think of that every time I hear Joe and another biscuit.
You know, we took that off for like, I think, two shows one time, and people lost their mind. I guess it was one show.
Yeah. Oh, I was one of them. I was like, this show sucks now. Get this back.
We got our mojo little kids back. Really love that on their way to school.
Yeah, it's a very kid-friendly program that we've got.
All right, throw me off.
We're not farting around here.
That's right. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols, their elimination in the Elite Eight yesterday against Houston. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we'll be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th. To make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, musicians, as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, the run comes to an end yesterday. For the Vols, they fall 69-50 in the Elite Eight to Houston. So after what was, I think, as we would both agree, the biggest win in program history Friday night, you advance to just your third Elite Eight in program history. You take down your rival to do it in Kentucky, and you dominated the entire game on Friday. You followed up with a 15-point first half yesterday, Joe, against a really good Houston team, and when you shoot that poorly in the first half and you come up with 15 on the scoreboard, you're just not going to give yourself a chance in the second half there. So Tennessee's run comes to an end, and we got four of the big dogs left in the tournament, Joe, in the final four, all four number one seeds.
Yes, so that goes along with, there's a lot of people who are upset about this tournament and, you know, no Cinderella, it's very chalk. I will say, we complained about the NCAA selection committee. Seems like they did a pretty good job there of seeding the tournament. And, you know, those the four teams that are there, you know, been the top four, especially as Houston has kind of emerged, you know, like in January and February in that Big 12. I mean, they're the best four teams. But it's disappointing for the Vols to play the way they did. You have to give Houston credit for it. It's always hard to totally quantify when a team is just missing every shot, you know? Is it like how much of it is just that's it? You're missing shots, or how much is it like the other team's defense has disrupted you? I think Houston gets a ton of credit. It's the best defense in the sport. They are the number one defense. Now, Tennessee technically came in number three, St. John's number two in efficiency, but they're unbelievable defensively. And I think the Vols rush some shots, and then you get into, you know, things can snowball either way with shooting with a team. That happens. And they just couldn't get in the lane. They couldn't move that defense. They couldn't get them out of position. They couldn't get driving lanes. And then they're taking these early, you know, decent shots. I mean, some of them were like, okay, that's not a bad shot against that defense. And they just couldn't hit anything. I liked the fight in the second half. They had a few chances to, you know, if you get that down to 6-7 points, you know, I think it was down 10, and I think Gainey had a layup and he just missed the layup, and then it's a three the other way. So you're about to turn it to eight. There's also a 3-point play, it looked like, on Mayshap, but then they wiped off. He missed both free throws, you know. They had some moments the second half. They fought really hard, as you would expect. But that was a game that was won in the first half. I think you can win and lose games in the first half. If you have a 5 or 10 minute total domination stretch where it's like a 20-point difference between the teams, yeah, that can be the game winning stretch, and that was. That's when Houston won the game.
Yeah, they did. And you know, Tennessee kept at it. They kept going in the second half, but just too much of a deficit to overcome. Obviously, Joe, some frustration from Vols fans after that. You feel like maybe this is the team that finally breaks down the door, gets to the first Final Four in program history, and not able to do it. So if you're a Tennessee fan and you're in the aftermath of another loss in the Elite Eight, on one hand, you're recognizing that it's just the third time in program history that you've made it that far in the Elite Eight, the second time under Rick Barnes, and yet you're still coming up short and not punching the ticket to the Final Four. So with guys like Ziegler and Mayshak and how important they were to this team, how do you view the aftermath of that if you're a Tennessee fan in terms of the accomplishments that those guys in this program has had while still not getting to the Final Four, and I think fairly wondering where things go from here with such big losses on the horizon?
Yeah, it's tough because I did think that this team was going to be the one to do it. Not that it's his best team. It's not, you know. So we talked earlier in the show about a comment like, if this team can't make it, then what team will? Well, he's had better teams than this. You know, the tournament's about matchups. I still feel like, you know, Houston was a better one seed to draw than Florida or Duke. I mean, Tennessee, but, you know, of course, Tennessee did blow out Florida one time, so I guess maybe I was wrong on that. Florida has not looked as dominant as I thought they would in this tournament, and they're still in the Final Four, but they've had to have a couple crazy saves. For Tennessee, you know, it's tough because you're losing just the heart and soul of the program, and it's Ziegler, but it's also Mayshak. You just, with those two guys, just leaders, incredible defenders. Ziegler is, I mean, he's the all-time assist leader in SEC, you know, history. I mean, he's just been an amazing player, and so you are just starting over, really. Yes, you got I know one really good recruit coming in. You're going to get a JP Estrella back next year. You got some other guys, you know, with eligibility, but you're going to have to rebuild the guts of this team quickly in the portal, and. You know, I think Rick Barnes did a great job the last 2 years to get a score. Obviously, Dalton Connect, incredible job there. You know, no one knew what they had in him until we started watching him play. And then Chaz Lanier ends up being a really good player for them. I mean, he's a big part of why they were playing the Elite Eight. But I think that this year's team, you know, the front court really took a hit. And in some matchups, it's just too much to overcome. I mean, Igor Milicic against, you know, Juwan Roberts of Houston, it just doesn't work, man. And you got to have, that's where Juwan Roberts, you know what would have been a great matchup for him? Tobe Awaka. But unfortunately for Barnes, both of those guys left after last year. And that's what happens too, is I was shocked that Awaka left. You know, Adu, apparently Arkansas, you know, really went after him financially, all that stuff. But the front court was not good enough this year, and I think that was ultimately their downfall. So there's just so much to try to rebuild for next year.
We'll have more of your thoughts on Tennessee losing in the Elite Eight to Houston yesterday. Where do Rick Barnes and company go from here? Was that Tennessee's best shot to punch down the door and get to the Final Four? More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal comes from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, downtown's largest axe throwing venue and your go-to spot for food, fun, and vibes. Enjoy panoramic views of the city, a killer soundtrack, craft cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. This week, score half off a $50 gift card. While supplies last, head to thegamenashville.com/deals to grab yours now. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Coming to your thoughts on the Vols and their elimination in the Elite Eight yesterday on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joseph, where do they go from here? That's the question. Like, if you feel like that was their best shot, or the last 2 years have been their best shot to break down the door for the Final Four, number one, is that true? And number two, if you're Tennessee and you're Rick Barnes and you're trying to replace some talent here, what's our confidence level that they're going to be able to do it? Here's where I fall on it. There's a lot that has to be replaced, obviously, right? You're talking about some very important players that have been here for a long time that are a big part of what they do. I think the track record shows you that Barnes and his staff have a pretty good eye for talent and have used the portal to their advantage. When you bring in Connect, you bring in Lanier this past year, they've been able to find some really impactful players in the portal. So I think they'll do that again. We'll see exactly who that is and how many that is next year, but I think they'll be able to do that again. And, Joe, there's a long enough track record at this point with how good they've been where I mean, they're probably going to put together a pretty good squad, and they'll be a team that's competitive in the SEC next year, and they'll be a team that's right up there, probably near the top based on the way the track record has gone, and then we'll see come tournament time here. I do think if you're a Tennessee fan, like I think sometimes the Rick Barnes discussion goes way too far in terms of, wow, that guy can never win the big one, and Tennessee basketball deserves better, going to get to the Final Four, go get that coach, all those things. I think some of those conversations get out of control. I do think it's fair to wonder if these last 2 years with the talent that they had, but also some of the people that they had that I think were really important in that culture there, was this their best shot? And can Barnes recover to the level where there will be a better shot moving forward here? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, very fair question. I mean, look at the league he's in. You know, they've been at the top of the SEC for the past years under Rick Barnes, which again is just not normal for Tennessee, but that's what they've been. They've been, you know, Auburn has had its ups and downs. Kentucky, you know, really has dipped, right? I mean, this is the first time Kentucky got to the second weekend since 2019. Same with Auburn, by the way. And Alabama got to the Final Four for the first time last year, so they're right there. Tennessee and Alabama really have been the best two programs, but those four are all really good. But now you have Todd Golden in Florida and what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, again, Nate Oates isn't going anywhere, I don't think, and they're going to be what they are, which is still just a really good program. Bruce Pearl, I think he's got some time left before he intends to hand it over to Stephen Pearl. But all over the league, I mean, you got Sean Miller taking over at Texas. You know, you got good coaches all through this league. It's going to be very competitive. So you're right. We don't know. You know, he's got a lot of work to do, and it's not going to be easy. One guy I forgot, Robbie, who I think is key, and I will say I think this guy could be one of the next like real core players when it comes to like that locker room, and that is Cade Phillips.
Yep.
Cade Phillips is, and really I think the Cade Phillips JP Estrella combo, you know, one or both, you know, the need to be able to stretch the defense, space the floor, and shoot from outside. But I think they both have that skill. If they can develop it, I think especially Cade. But here's a quote he had from from Mike Wilson's story, the Knoxville News Sentinel, asked about Mayshak and Ziegler. He said, quote, "If they are remembered for anything short of being winners and elevating this program to a blue blood level, I don't know if you can consider yourself a fan of Tennessee," end quote. Now I will take issue with blue blood. Like, you got to go to Final Fours to be, win national titles, frankly, to be a blue blood.
Yes.
But top, high status in the sport right now, yeah, I mean, they've been one of the best programs, you know, over the last several years. But he is one guy to keep in mind for that moving forward, and that's important. That's a huge part of their success. I mean, Rick Barnes has had just tremendous guys on his teams, and it's not an accident.
Got some tickets to give away to see Jacko Pierce at City Winery this Saturday night. Be caller 3-615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, Ian Safar on the YouTube chat throwing this question out there. Do you think the Vols hyped up the Kentucky game too much and that led them to come out flat against Houston? What do you think of that?
Hello, Ian. I don't know. Did I hype it up too? I mean, they were obviously – you know, I think sometimes you win a Sweet 16 game and it can drain you for the next one. Like, had they beat Kentucky with, like, a buzzer beater and it was, like this just incredible, oh, my God, what a win, like, you know, all-time win type thing. I could buy that. I just think – I don't think they came out flat versus Houston. I think Houston came out and punched him in the face and then punched him with the left and then hit him with an uppercut and said, we are bigger and stronger than you. You're not going in the lane. You're not getting open. You're not doing anything. Throw up some threes and see how that works for you. And the Vols, you know, look, obviously, they could have hit some of those threes. But when you're not in rhythm, you're not moving the ball side to side, you're taking early shots, you're playing into their hands. So I think Houston gets the credit first. I just don't think the Vols handled what Houston was doing to them well.
I got one text that says, not sure how Rick Barnes is to blame for that first half shooting percentage. Look, you know, I get how this works. Number one, there's frustration after a loss anyway. You're going to see that from a big fan base. Saw some of that yesterday. I do think there is like this smaller contingent of Tennessee fans that are fed up with Rick Barnes. Now, I don't understand how you get there. Like, I understand you want to win a national championship and get to the Final Four. I don't think that's a very easy thing to do. And I think sometimes we lose a little bit of perspective on what this basketball program has been. So I understand all that kind of in the aftermath of the loss there. What's now interesting, specifically on the Barnes front, is how much longer does he want to keep doing this? And when that time comes, whether it's this, whether it's now, whether it's next year, 5 years from now, whatever it is, how attractive is this job in the meantime? Like, has he elevated this program to the point where whenever that next person comes in, whether it's somebody that's been on his staff, whether they open it up and go big game hunting as it relates to the next head coach, how attractive is the Tennessee job going to be? Really interested to see, you know, like how Barnes at the age of 70 now approaches this moving forward.
Yeah, I'm keeping the door cracked on retirement. I understand he kind of dunked on that the other day, but I mean, you know, that still happens. You're not going to say anything at that point. And I'm not sitting here 100% convinced that, you know, that he's not coming back. I do think that he probably would like to hand it off to one of his guys, whenever he does leave. Who exactly would that be? I don't know. But then, like you said, Robbie, is an attractive job for, you know, top outside candidates. I think it is. I mean, does Tennessee care about basketball now? Do the fans care? Is there investment in the program? Now you have a brand that, you know, that has, because of Rick Barnes, you actually have a brand of basketball success that did not really exist there. So I do think that he's totally changed the job. And, you know, it'll be very interesting whenever it happens. If there's a clear Rick Barnes coaching tree candidate, there are a lot of possibilities there. There's a lot of guys who are head coaches now, but I think it would have to be someone who really is excelling, you know, in that moment. Or is Danny White going to go out there and do what he has done, which is he likes to go find coaches. He did a pretty good job with women's basketball a year ago.
Who, by the way, they took Texas to the wire the other night on that front and almost punched their ticket to the Elite Eight. Came up just short in that one, but a good first year for Kim Caldwell for sure.
Yeah, that was they were right there in that game. Went real cold in the fourth quarter. Texas is really good, but no, very, very promising first year. You know, the whole thing with Tennessee and the SEC, really, in basketball, revenue sharing, that means you got to – basically, you have a cap of about $21 million right now. It'll go up, but our SEC teams going to end up having less for their basketball programs than Big East teams, than even like Atlantic 10 teams, where like, you know, where like, again, there's just no football. You know, there's less money, way less money overall, but again, the revenue share is a specific number. And if so, do we then go back to McDonald's bags and cash to make up the difference? Because I think that actually may be the case. I mean, it's absolutely idiotic to me that you're going to take the collectives or whatever, and again, you're going to try to, like, cap the market. We don't cap the coaches' salaries, right? Now, if you want to have a cap, like, on players, then fine. Then you have contracts and all that stuff. So if we get to that, then that's one thing. But right now, as it is, I don't see how you can restrict earnings. You're going to get killed in court.
Offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
Hey, that guy's not looking for a cap.
No, he's not looking for a cap on how much money he's trying to get from the NCAA. The problem, you know, someone made this point on Pruitt. You know, he's trying to basically say that they've, like, screwed him over in terms of, like, ever making money in his career, right, because of all that stuff.
Meanwhile, he was tracking, like, that way for sure on the field.
Exactly. But also, yeah, if you notice, like, Bruce Pearl is sitting here, like, you know, lighting up the world after what happened to him. Like, if you're a good coach, you'll be fine. In college sports, if you're a good coach, you screw something up like this, you'll be fine. If you're a crappy coach, yeah, then, you know, you sue the NCAA.
Asparagus? What's that? I don't know what that is.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
It's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you guess a goal score for the Predators in the game tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. Wrap up the show with some NFL thoughts from the owners' meetings down there, including an interesting report regarding a quarterback that's still out there. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. I'll have your pregame tonight at 5 o'clock here on 1025, 1063, the game. No change in the standings last time out. Rex Road leading the competition, and in very near fashion could be wrapping up the win in the competition. 15 correct answers. The listeners have 11. I remain at 7. Keezer remains at 4. With that in mind, let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Caleb to the program. Caleb, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to take Forsberg today. You know, part of a pain in the back as it's been watching them play. My Kia Tika has still been acting up on me, and hopefully Forsberg can help me out on that.
Yep, could provide some relief on that front tonight. Caleb, thank you for the call. Forsberg, the selection. Rex Road, you're up first today. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Man, that's Kia Tika. It's a Kia Tika day. It's today, National Kia Tika Day. We had National Joe Day last week. I'll go Stamkos.
Going with Steven Stamkos. Give me the kid. I'll go Svechkov tonight. I'll take Fedor Svechkov to score. Forsberg, Stamkos, Svechkov off the board. Keezer, your pick to click.
Jonathan Marchessault.
Going with Jonathan Marchessault, who is searching for goal number 20 on the season. So we'll see if he gets it tonight. Preds in action tonight. We had Max Herz on earlier. They'll have the animated broadcast coming up tomorrow as they take on Columbus. Got Dallas on Thursday. Joe, we're getting close to the end here. We'll have a lot more to say on the Predators front this week because we're a couple weeks away from some big decisions that are going to have to be made on the Predators front. We'll get into that a little bit later this week here on the program. Joe, some interesting reporting going on from the NFL owners' meetings. We talked about some Titans stuff earlier in the show. If you missed that, go check out Robbie and Rex Road wherever you get your podcast. But Mike Garafolo putting it out there that while the Steelers are still waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, apparently Rodgers and DK Metcalf had a throwing session over the weekend. So Rodgers is throwing with Metcalf, and all signs continue to point to him at some point, I guess, being the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers if he ever actually, you know, signs there.
Well, I'm intrigued by that. I'm definitely intrigued by Rodgers at that place with that franchise with Mike Tomlin as the head coach. I feel like some of his BS may be muted a little bit. Does that make him play better? Does that, you know, mean that he can elevate a pretty good team to like a team that could actually, you know, win a playoff game or something? You know, I don't know. They have some work to do too. You know, they have to have a really good draft. I feel like they're eroding a little bit on defense, but I feel like if there's a place that could, I guess for lack of a better term, get him in line, maybe that would be the place.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there are some mountains over there. Find some caves. Maybe all in the off days, you can just go relax a little bit. Didn't have a whole lot of those in New Jersey.
Some old coal mines, man. You know?
Yeah.
Really get yourself a little soot and a little hallucinogen combo.
I mean, the DK Metcalf George Pickens combo is pretty intriguing. I mean, first off, Pickens kind of a loose cannon anyway, so we'll see what that looks like, particularly like he and Rodgers are together. I could see that being a little problematic at some point, but
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
But I mean, from a talent perspective, you could do a whole lot worse if you're him than throwing to Metcalf and Pickens out there.
No question. No, you have to be intrigued by that. And you still, you have obviously quarterbacks like to have a running game and a defense. You have that. Now, you know, I think the defense, again, like they've got some work to do. That it wasn't, you know, they've lost a little bit of steam over there. But if you look at the Steelers, I mean, really, like when they looked good last year, they won some close games with Justin Fields at quarterback. But when they looked pretty good, like a legit team for a while when Russ was playing really well, right? Like there was a little stretch there. It's like, oh, wow, okay. Russ looks good and they look good. And then the Russ turned into a little bit of a pumpkin at the end of the year. It's just, it's hard for me to know like what Rodgers would be. He just hasn't been in a good situation. He tears the Achilles. And then last year, you know, that's obviously a dysfunctional organization. He contributed to the dysfunction, you know, off the field, but how good is he? If you give him, like you said, those two good receivers, how good is he still? I mean, I'm intrigued to find out. Well, I hope this happens.
Looks like we might find out. We're going to have Charles Robinson with us on the show tomorrow, switching some things around this week. So Charles will be with us tomorrow on the program. We'll get into all things NFL with him. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe is up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.